All right, this is Talk Nerdy to Me. I'm your host, Troy Stegner, and I have a special treat for you nerds today. I have one of our own on the phone here. You probably recognize him from Comic Book Men, or you recognize his voice from multiple podcasts on the Smodcast Network. I'm talking about Mr. Ming Chen. How you doing, Ming?
What's up, everybody? You almost forgot Las Cruces Comic-Con alumni. Most importantly.
Yes, first and foremost.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, yeah, and like I said, I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast here with us.
It's long overdue, my friend. I probably should have been like the very first guest ever, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's my fault. I am amiss. Sorry.
That's all right. We're both very busy. You know, we're out and about in the world. You're running a store. You're running conventions all over the place. You're traveling to Egypt, and I'm doing my own thing here on the East Coast. So totally understand, my friend.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that a little bit. Let's go all the way back to the very, very beginning with a young Ming Chen, University of Michigan alumnus, right?
Yes. I think I'm wearing a Michigan shirt right now. Oddly enough, I did not plan this, but yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, ended up in Ann Arbor, and decided I might as well go to school there. So, you know, as for any sports fans out there, a very prestigious sports program. Football is usually pretty up there. Great academics. So I decided to just kind of stay in the place I grew up and went to school there.
So you're a big Wolverines fan?
I am, yeah. So anything Ohio State Buckeyes, I can't stand. So,
but weren't you born in Ohio?
I was, oddly enough. I was born in a suburb of Cleveland, and I actually have in-laws in the Columbus, Ohio area. So I get every holiday when I go back, I get a lot of crap. But you know, I have to stand strong, even in the face of adversities, and remain tough.
Okay, explain to us how you went from Michigan to meeting, getting in hooked in with Kevin Smith.
Good story. Way back in the 90s, while I was learning how to build websites, right about 1994. And if you remember 94, that was a big moment that Clerks, the movie Clerks, came out in 94 as well. A little black and white movie full of foul language that Kevin had worked on, his first movie, made with on a budget of $27,575, 10 credit cards, and a sold comic book collection. And I was working at a computer lab at the time, and I was very bored, but I was learning how to build websites way back then. And I'd seen the movie Clerks. I became borderline obsessed with it. I always try to pinpoint why. Most of it had to do with the dialogue. Kevin's characters talk very honestly and truthfully, and like me and you do, like me and my friends did at the time. Clerks had debated, had an inane conversation about Star Wars and Stormtroopers on the Death Star, which I thought only me and my friends cared about. Whether or not the Death Star workers knew what they were getting into or if they were innocent victims. I was like, holy crap, this is a conversation that me and my friends would have. And I became obsessed with the movie, and I had no one to talk to. There were no fellow fans in the movie around me. If you remember Clerks, it's in black and white. So that turned off a lot of my friends who, if you remember 94, like, and I think Independence Day came out that year. So, most people, if they're going to the movies and they have a choice between aliens invading Earth with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum or a bunch of unknowns from New Jersey talking, static two shots in a convenience store and it's shot in black and white, you're probably going to choose the movie with the aliens and the Welcome to Earth. And you're going to choose a blockbuster. I mean, I can't blame them, but luckily I went to both movies, and I loved Clerks much better. But I really, as a fanboy, as you know, all you want to do is talk about, if you see something really cool, you want to talk about it with other people. You want to debate with other people. you want to talk about certain scenes, and I didn't have that. So I ended up channeling my fandom into building a fan website. I was really bored at the computer lab one day. Took a week out and built this Clerks fan website. And at the bottom, I put my email address on there. I was like, hey, if you've seen this movie and you're a fan, you'll email me at, Ming at clerksfan.com or whatever. And people started emailing me. I was like, hey, man, you like Clerks too? That's cool. Like, none of my friends will watch it with me. So I was able to not only relate them, but it was cool. I used the power of the internet to kind of make friends with fellow Clerks fans. And lo and behold, the ultimate Clerks fan ended up contacting me, and that would be Kevin Smith. Saw the site one day at an internet cafe, tracked down my number, and actually just gave me a call. And he was like, hey, man, I love what you did. Do you think you could do more of it? He was starting up his production company, USQ Productions, and he had just come out of Mallrats. It had not done that great at the box office, and he was just going into Chasing Amy, and he decided, Kevin's always thinking two steps ahead of everybody, two or three steps, and I guess he had an idea in his mind that maybe he too could maybe reach out to any fans of Clerks and Mallrats on the internet via a website, via kind of like an online repository and archive for the two things that he's done. And then we could put up news and photos from any of his future productions. And I was like, he was like, hey, can you help me out? And I'm like, let me think for a second. Yes. Yeah, it was pretty much a no-brainer. You know, at first when he called me, I didn't even believe him. But I didn't believe it was him. Who would? But I heard what I thought was Jason Mewes talking in the background, and it turned out it was Jason Mewes, Jay of Jay and Silent Bob fame. So, those were the beginnings. I actually ended up building him a website. He had sent me a list of things that he wanted on the website. Right after we talked, he sent me a FedEx package full of photos and all this material that he had, he just had laying around the office, like stuff that the normal fan wouldn't have access to. But he was like, hey, put all this online so everybody else can see it. I think it's kind of cool. Maybe the fans will as well. So he had a whole list of things he wanted to put on there. But one of them he really wanted was he wanted a way to communicate with the fans. So his initial idea was to do it via a chat room. Kevin started out his career on the internet using AOL. So chat rooms were really big back then. And I was like, wait, you want a chat room? Like, you want to pick up chicks on this thing? No. I want to talk to other fans. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess we could put that. But instead of a chat room, I ended up suggesting to him, like, why don't we put up a message board where people can post questions to you, and you can go on and answer them at your leisure. You know, you can just go on for like 5 minutes if you want to answer a couple of questions. You can go on for 2 hours if you want to answer a bunch of questions. And he agreed to do that. So I set up this message board, and it ended up growing into this semi-huge online community of Kevin Smith fans who would just kind of hang out there all day. Kevin would come on for a couple hours a day, answer their questions. And then later on, that grew into we would throw all day Kevin Smith film festivals called Vulgarthons, where we would take 1 or 2 days, rent out a theater for an entire day, and show like 5 or 6 movies in a row. Kevin would fly out guys like Jason Lee and Jason Mewes and cast members to do Q&As after. It was it was pretty cool. I mean, nowadays people do things like that all the time, but I think when he was doing it, it was pretty revolutionary. So yeah, it was fun. And it was before Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, like any of this. We were, Kevin way ahead of his time. And then if you look at the old message board, if you look at the way it's set up with just the text and the threading and everything, looks exactly like Reddit does now. So both of us we're waiting for our Reddit checks, man, because I think, we invented it.
You guys were definitely pioneers. How did you move from behind the scenes on the websites to in front of the camera with Kevin?
So, I built the website, I ended up, I was in college back then, so I ended up getting a real job for a couple of years and doing Kevin stuff on the side. I ended up working for Ben Affleck for a year via Kevin's friendship with him. And then after that, Kevin ended up hiring me full-time right about around 2002. So, yeah, I moved to New Jersey, started doing all the what would now be termed as online digital social marketing, like 15 years before that term even existed. And so I ran all his websites, set up his online store, handled anything, you know, internet related, ran events, promoted the events, created merchandise, like pretty much, pretty much whatever he needed me to do, but anything, definitely anything in the online world I took care of. So that was 2002. 2007, Kevin discovered the power of podcasting and latched on to that in a huge way, which makes a lot of sense. You know, anybody listening to this knows, or anybody who's a fan of Kevin knows, he loves to talk at length, loves to curse, doesn't like rules, and just kind of wants to talk as long as he can. And if you're either a listener to podcasts or a creator of podcasts, you would know that podcasting is the perfect medium for him, because that offers everything that all of that and more. But most importantly, no rules, where he can curse. He can say whatever he wants for as long as he wants. So he latched onto that very, very, very heavily in 2007. And we ended up creating the whole Smodcast podcast network. And so shortly after that, I was like, hey, I want to create a network. I need other shows. They all can't just be mine. So I ended up, I think all of us pretty much here there at the store started podcasting at his urging. And oddly enough, talking into a microphone and making fun of each other led to Comic Book Men, led to a TV show, which any podcasters out there, or anybody thinking of starting a podcast, who knows, you could wind up with a TV show. Even though it's not a visual medium, it could happen. So, and for anybody who wants to know, Comic Book Men started with the success of The Walking Dead on AMC, and with Walking Dead being based on a comic book, AMC decided they wanted another comic book-based show. And they had no idea what they wanted to do, but they contacted King Geek, Kevin Smith, and Kevin came up with this idea. Basically, he was, hey, why don't you just rip off Pawn Stars and put it in a comic book shop? And they were like, that's a great idea. How would you do that? He's like, well, if you want, you can use my shop. I don't, you know, I think his initial idea was to cast like four guys to be on the show. Lo and behold, that became us. Just purely because they needed to shoot a pilot episode and they didn't want to pay any like actors or fly anybody out. So, and we were there already. So they ended up shooting the pilot with me, Brian Walton, and Mike. And if you look hard enough on YouTube, you can actually see that pilot episode. And after the network started, they're like, you idiot, these are the four guys. You already had them right in front of you. I think they were kind of like, how much weed are you smoking? Because you have the guys right here. Like, why didn't you tell us that? He's like, I didn't, they're not, you know, they're not actors. One of them doesn't even want to be on TV at all. And but lo and behold, it was us all along. We just didn't know it, and neither did Kevin. So, oddly enough,
You said one of them didn't want to be on TV. I'm guessing you're talking about Walt.
I am. Walt Flanagan. Had no desire to be on TV. You know, while we were making the show, he didn't want to be on TV. I don't believe he's ever seen an episode, a full episode, even, because he doesn't like watching himself. So. Yeah, he's a guy who you know, just wants to run a store and doesn't want any kind of TV fame. But, you know, if you watch the show, he's so great. He's, you know, there's definitely no show without him. So it's weird. It's weird that the one guy who doesn't want to be there is probably, you know, the best cast member on there, in my opinion.
He is kind of the heart of the show, the instigator of a lot of the things that go on. With Comic Book Men coming to an end, what are your plans for the future? I know you guys, you're part owner there of Coral Sword in Houston.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to ask to be a partner of a coffee and gaming cafe, Coffee Comics and Gaming Cafe in Houston, Texas. I go to Texas a lot. I found out I had family there. They run a pretty great convention over there that I'm at every year. And through some unlikely friendships and a love of coffee and geekdom, I was asked to be a partner in this amazing business called Coral Sword. And any of you super geeks out there who have played the game Final Fantasy, you'll know the Coral Sword is a very powerful weapon in the first Final Fantasy game. So that opened up. We're about to celebrate our first anniversary over there, and it's going pretty well. And anybody listening to this near the Houston area or passing through or coming by, definitely check that out. It's a very, very unique shop that a bunch of coffee-loving geeks just kind of opened up the ultimate hangout. I'm still in Jersey. So what me and Mike Zapsik, a fellow cast member of Comic Book Men, did, we took our love of podcasting and decided that we wanted to show everybody else how awesome podcasting was. We opened up a couple of studios not too far from the store. It's called the Shared Universe Podcast Studio. And basically, it's a recording studio, but it's specifically for podcasting only. We don't record music here. We don't cut tracks. We teach people how to podcast. We are anticipating the explosion of this amazing medium that me and guys like me and Troy and Kevin have latched onto and love so much. And we want everybody to do it, every individual, every fanboy, every geek, every business, and just anybody who can talk about their passions behind a microphone and share that passion with other people. We want to show everybody the power and the passion and the love behind podcasting. And so far it's going pretty well. So I know, who knows, there may, a Shared Universe Las Cruces, Shared Universe El Paso, you never know. So that's definitely the goal though.
Yeah, we're down for that if you want to come down and help set up the Shared Universe Southwest.
Yeah, I love the Southwest. How can you not love a region where, green chilies reign supreme and they put them on, they put on Whataburgers and everything. And I had something called green chili ranch dressing last week while I was in Albuquerque, and it was mind blowing. So if I could, I would put green chilies into and onto everything.
Then you would fit right here in Cruces. So
I had a great time in Las Cruces. I had a great time at your show. Thank you so much for the invite. But I had a great time in Old Mesilla. Tried to get Gary Busey to come and party with me, and I came close. But in hindsight, it's probably a good idea that I didn't.
It's probably better that he didn't go out. You might be in a mugshot.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, what a story to tell for the grandchildren.
Yeah, that's true. For your personal life, I see you actually run some marathons, full marathons, the full 26.2.
Yeah, I did. I hit this period. I didn't work out for the longest time. Then in the early 2000s, I decided to hit the gym pretty heavily. But I was never a runner. I wasn't that kid. I was that kid who was always last running laps in gym class. Wasn't a huge runner at all. I didn't run cross country. I didn't do any, wasn't that skinny kid with no body fat running around town. But while I was at the gym, I decided to see if I could last like 10 minutes on a treadmill. And that 10 minutes became like 15 to 20. One day I decided to see if I could run 3 miles. And then one day I saw there was a 5K going on, and the only reason I ran the 5K is because I saw they were having a barbecue at the end of it where every race participant got free hamburgers and hot dogs. So I ran that, and it was tough and I didn't feel great, but I decided to keep going just based on the fact that I wasn't a runner and I didn't run and I hated running, and that's why I kept doing it for whatever odd reason. So I started entering 5Ks around town, and then one year, I think it was 2011, a bunch of my friends put on Facebook that they were training for a half marathon. And I was like, man, that's a long distance. I wonder if I could do it. So I saw if my friends were doing it, maybe I could train with them and, support them and maybe get some support back. So I ended up training for that. Ended up running that. I was like, yeah, this is cool. I felt like crap at the end. And I was like, wow, if that's a half, like, who could run a full? Like, I couldn't imagine doing a half marathon twice at the same time in one day. And I think a year or a couple years later, a friend had texted me. He was like, "Hey, I'm entering the Marine Corps Marathon. You should enter. Like, the tickets are gonna probably the entries are probably gonna sell out in 3 hours. So, you know, either do it or don't. But I'm doing it, and you should run it with me." And that one sounded cool. You know, military based, supported by the Marine Corps. It sounded cool, and I was like, you know what? I'll sign up. And, you know, if I don't run, but at least that'll kind of kick me in the ass. And, I ended up running it and finishing it. And I felt like crap at the end and didn't think I would do another one. And then a few months later, I won entry into a local full marathon. So I did that. And, and then the next three I did for charity. I tried to back out of them, but I couldn't because I didn't want the headlines coming out that, you know, Comic Book Men bails on charity marathon, you know, like sick kids disappointed. So, I've done five total, and it's tough. Half marathons, I think I could do it. Fulls, training and all that, and it's like taking on another full time job. So, I know. Will I ever do another one? The last one I ran was 2014. I probably will do another one. I kind of stopped, I've been stopped and started. I wasn't as hardcore as I was before. I think, you know, what's a killer is traveling all these Comic Cons, man. It's not good. It's not good for the workout routines. It's not really a healthy lifestyle in general, but it sure is fun though.
Yeah. Building on that, I think we talked about this too, another show you could do, because I've noticed all the cons you go to, you always partake in the local cuisine.
Atmosphere.
You need to pitch us to AMC, Con Life with Ming Chen.
I know there's at least a book or maybe even like a pamphlet or, you know, some kind of guidebook within me. I just got to sit down and write it. But I've been blessed enough to go definitely around the country. Sometimes international to Comic Cons. I love going to cons. I love the atmosphere. I love the vendors. I love art. I love Artist Alley. I just love being in this atmosphere where it's all fans and we all love the same thing. Because it wasn't that long ago that you got made fun of for liking Star Wars and sci-fi and things like that. And there wasn't too long ago that guys like me and you felt very alone at schools or on playgrounds or just even within our friends where, you know, either it just wasn't cool. It just wasn't cool to like Marvel and DC and Image and, you know, the Force and I felt, you know, I felt, you know, I had two other guys in my high school who were as big a fan of James Cameron's Aliens as I was. So naturally we hung out together, but you know, no one else cared, and you know, we were kind of looked down upon, and you know what, it sucked. You know, I wanted to share my love of Ripley and you know, Highlander movies and you know, things like that with other people, but you just didn't do it back in the 90s because no one thought it was cool. So fast forward, you know, 10-15 years where the conventions and you know, it's definitely cool like Marvel now. And it feels good to be able to walk into a building with, you know, either hundreds to hundreds of thousands of fans who love this stuff just as much as you do and who you can just literally walk into a conversation about flux capacitors or, you know, or the cantina bar or whatever. And you're not only understood but embraced. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, I love that aspect. But, yeah, while I'm at a – these conventions take me to different cities and, you know, anyone can go eat at an Applebee's or a TGI Fridays or whatever. No, I want to go to all the local places and, I always try to find the best of the best.
It seems like you do. I've noticed, you, even though you're being a celebrity yourself, that you're still a huge fanboy like us, because I'll see you posting pictures with all the other celebrities where you're posing with them and, you're getting their autograph. So you're still one of us. You didn't get it to your head. And I really appreciate that.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I it's funny. Yeah, people ask me all the time, like, "Hey man, are you still a fanboy? Like, do you still geek out over some of the other guests at the cons?" I'm like, man, yeah. Like, why would I lose that? Not only that, I'm more of a fanboy now because I get to meet most of the guests at any given convention, and if you go to conventions, all conventions book really cool guests, and most of them, they try to mix it up. So you'll get people from your past. So I definitely see like Peter Mayhew or, the guy who played Bib Fortuna from Empire Strike or Return of the Jedi. And then, I'll meet artists like Neil Adams or if I'm lucky, like a Jim Lee or Scott Snyder or Greg Capullo. So that's definitely cool. And then, most cons will bring out current stars from whatever is hot at the moment. So whether it be like Charlie Cox from Daredevil or Kristen Ritter from Jessica Jones or the Stranger Things kids, and then not only that, but they're all in one room. So it's pretty amazing. You just kind of go down the line and introduce yourself and maybe get a photo with them and at least have a little conversation with them. And it's such a cool environment. And I'm very lucky to sometimes have a table next to them even, and it's that makes me even more of a fan for sure.
Great. And you do a lot of pro bono work for a couple of charities. Did you want to talk about those two?
Yeah, I think the main one I'm working with now is one called Root to Rise, which seeks to help former addicts just not only occupy themselves, but beat their addictions through movement, through running or yoga or physical activity. And it's a local charity I was asked to be on the board of not too long ago, and something I definitely greatly support. As a guy who ran around a lot, as a guy who loves yoga, and as a guy who maybe had some friends who were addicted to, who had some substance abuse issues and were able to beat them. That's a cause that I'm greatly supporting at the moment. So, I think it's cool. If I've been blessed with being on the show, which gives me pretty decent social media presence. So if I can help bring awareness to charities and causes, and help people raising money through that, then so be it. I think that's a gift that I should be sharing with other people.
That's very admirable. Before we, I have one serious question left, but before
yeah,
we
ask get, away, ask anything.
Before we get to that, I just wanted to see, is there anything you have upcoming projects you wanted to plug?
I think the podcast studio has been taking up most of my time. Troy, you didn't warn me that operating your own small business was going to be a 25-hour, 8-day-a-week endeavor. But yeah, I'm not sleeping much, but I'm loving pretty much every moment of it. So if you want to see what we're up to here, the website is ashareduniverse.com. And I'm hoping that, next time I know you've been here a couple of times. Next time you come up here, we can record face-to-face in the studio. And one thing I didn't mention, the concept of the studio is it's not your boring old recording studio with sound tiles everywhere and it's dark and there's, it's all the stuff that me and Mike have collected at conventions that was kind of piling up at my house that my wife was like, can you get this out of here? Is now up all up on the walls. So the Captain America shield that Mike got signed by Stan Lee when he was in this shop is up on the wall. The Star Wars Black Series Force Effects lightsabers that I've collected from the now defunct Toys R Us are up on the wall. All the photo ops that we've taken are up on the wall. All the autograph posters, the Star Wars poster that Carrie Fisher autographed for me. It's a pretty cool place. And I think, not only is that our world, but I think it puts people at ease when they walk in here. I noticed a lot of first-time podcasters or guests of podcasts are very nervous at first. But once they step in here, I think the nerves definitely go away. So, yeah, that's definitely what I'm doing. And, I'm still trying to hit as many conventions as possible. I still definitely love it. I love it like nothing else, man. So I always say, if you can't make it to the stash, then I'll come to you.
That's great. Okay. And I promised you I had a serious question for you. So
okay, ask away.
This one, we take this very serious.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a straightforward, honest answer.
Okay.
Cake or pie?
Oh, man. Whoa, that's a tough question. The last thing I ate in Albuquerque, there was this place called the Village Inn, which somebody brought me a pie from there. And right on the box, it says best pie in America. I was like, whoa, that's a bold statement. And I ended up sharing it with four other friends. And that was a really good pie. Like, I love apple, but like good cherry pie, man. God, what a tough question. There's really good cake too. I don't know. Is there ice cream in this cake? Because that would flip the tables.
just as is. We ask the hard hitting questions here.
Oh man, but I'm gonna go with pie, just because I'm a guy who loves variety. I love anything with variety, includes food, and craft beers and wine, stuff like that. I think there's more varieties of pie than there are of cake, right? Cake, you only have like devil's food, chocolate, vanilla, and like that yellow pie or that yellow cake.
I think yellow cake is uranium, but yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess you have your funfetti's, but pie, man, you have your not only apple, cherry, blueberry, pumpkin, Boston cream, banana cream. I got to go with pie on this one, just based on the variety alone.
You're in the majority. It's been overwhelmingly pie.
Wow, okay. Fantastic. Great question. Tough question.
So, yeah, well, like I said, we asked the hard-hitting journalism stuff here.
Oh, man. Thank you. That was a tough one, man.
Made you
not
think.
Not going to lie, for sure.
Yeah, that was the last question I had for you, so I wanted to thank you for doing the interview here with us.
Dude, of course. And yeah, hopefully one day I can buy both of you a steak over at the Double Eagle in Old Mesilla.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back out for something pre-COVID.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, you just you run some great shows. I got nothing but great things to say about them, and that goes for me and all any current and former guests as well. You know, I made a lot of friends in Las Cruces. We had some adventures, and I thank you for bringing us together.
No, it was our pleasure to have you here.
Awesome. And I love seeing you every pop up every so often as well. So
yeah, we don't go to as many cons as you do, but we try to.
Yeah, but I know somewhere along the line I'll run into you guys somewhere. So thanks, man.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ming.
Absolutely. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.